Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.
Now, there's a whole host of true life stories on screen at the moment, and interesting ones in the pipeline as well. I'm talking movies about famous people like Diana Spencer and Marilyn Monroe, and middling famous ones like Richard Williams, the dad of Venus and Serena, and then some not so famous people with incredible life stories. Well, film and TV director and IFTA winner, Brian...
Every time. Have you ever won anything, by the way? You must have got some IMRO Radio Personality of the Year.
For God's sake.
Did you get a Jacob Award at some point?
Yep, if they were ever on, I got one. Anyway, come on, stop. Hold on a second.
You won the hearts of the nation.
Brian Redden is the man, obviously. True life stories on the screen to check out. Can we check some out? Go for it. Tell me what's coming up or what's on.
Well, there's a load. And interestingly, you know, it's interesting the names you gave there, because quite often these biopics are always just about famous people. But there's quite a few coming up about people that I'd never heard of, quite frankly.
Yeah,
you
but
know?
Famous stories, though. Or, sorry, some good, of them aren't good even, stories.
Obviously, they have to have a good story. But actually, oddly enough, some of them don't have. Some of them do have great stories. But some
not
of them,
famous, crap story.
Terrible story, terrible person. Now, some of the stories that I wasn't aware of, stories that had kind of gone under the radar, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. I didn't realise that actually existed. And when I go through them now, you'll be surprised if you know all of them even, because some of them are actually quite unusual. So some of the obvious ones, you mentioned Diana. So everyone's waiting for this Spencer.
It's coming out in November. Yeah, what is it exactly?
Yeah, it's out in November. So it'll be interesting because, like, I mean, so Diana, obviously, in The Crown recently, the Emma Corrin, who played her in The Crown, won the Golden Globe for it. Mm. And so she
Elizabeth Debicki, whatever you call her, is going to play her in the next bunch. Yeah,
yeah, so she had a very, 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 you know, critically lauded performance as Diana. And then, of course, we had Naomi Watts. Remember, she played her in a movie called Diana, and that was, everybody absolutely hated that. So anyway, Kristen Stewart's playing her in this film called Spencer, and it premiered at the Venice Film Festival, and she is getting rave reviews, absolutely, like 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, absolutely everybody raving about her.
Really?
So what they've done is, so like, there was a lot of scrutiny on her, a lot of eyes on her, like even when the very first clip that came out of her speaking as Diana was all over the internet. And then how does she look, what does she wear, what is her hair like? So she's under a lot of scrutiny, under a lot of pressure, but the critics are absolutely raving about her. What they did was, and I think this is quite clever, it's only set over 3 days. So it's set in 1991. Her marriage with Charles is kind of falling apart, and she goes for Christmas in Sandringham with the royal family. So over those 3 day gatherings in the Sandringham estate, they eat and they drink and they go hunting and all the stuff that you see in the papers the royal family do. But Diana starts to realise she's being pushed out, she's being marginalised as her relationship with Charles falls apart. So the entire drama takes place over those 3 days, which I think is quite a clever idea. Not trying to tell her entire life. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with it. You know, it's a very serious drama. Great performances in it. A guy called Jack Farthing, who I've never heard of, plays Prince Charles. But from the trailer, he looks pretty good. But Kirsten Stewart is going to be... there's lots of talks. He's going to get nominated for an Oscar for this.
Wow, okay. So Spencer is what it's called. That's for the big screen in November. What about The Eyes of Tammy Faye?
Have you ever heard of Tammy Faye?
I've heard of Tammy Faye as an evangelist. One of those. I vaguely have a slight interest in the madness of their lives. Of just the stupidity of the awful way they just basically steal money from you because they have a television station that can.
Essentially, that's what she did. Well, that's what she and her husband did. So Tammy Faye Baker, played by Jessica Chastain in this film, and her husband Jim Baker, played by Andrew Garfield. So Tammy Faye, as you say, was this very famous TV evangelist in the States from about the early 1970s right up until about 1989. So her and her husband Jim started off, they had a puppet show on TV together, believe it or not. And then from that, they developed this evangelistic TV show where they would scream and shout, and she would sing. Now, it's called The Eyes of Tammy Faye because she was famous for, you know, very gaudy clothes. She overdressed. She overdid the makeup big time. So she always had massive big eyelashes on her and lots of eye makeup. So she was known for her eyes, which is why it's called The Eyes of Tammy Faye. So they would sing and they would praise the Lord, and they would ask you to donate money to the missions, wherever the missions were. The missions may have been
the missions were their fourth helicopter.
Yeah, the missions may have been.
As it says here, they were revered for their message of love, acceptance, and prosperity, and they created the world's largest religious broadcasting network.
They did.
And
the
theme park.
Yeah, and theme park called Heritage USA. So they created their own theme park. But here's the thing. They created their own theme park called Heritage USA, which was a religious theme park, right?
you go down the slide from heaven to hell.
You go down the slide into a watery pit that is opened by Moses, you know, and stuff like that, you know. And there's lots of breaking of bread and all that kind of stuff. And there's a whole game where you change fishes or water into wine and fishes. One fish becomes 20 fish. So it's all those kind of things. Anyway, it's Heritage Heritage USA. But here's the thing: they were. It turned out that they were funding Heritage USA from the donations they were getting.
Never.
Yeah, from the people who were phoning in, thinking this was going towards the mission. So now there's no indication that maybe Tammy was as corrupt as her husband, but certainly her husband was quite corrupt. And then what else did he do? He ended up having this really illicit affair, and this woman was going to expose him to the papers, and he used also the money that he was getting for the missions to pay off this woman. So he ended up in prison. Tammy Faye is now dead, but her husband is still alive. He ended up in prison. And Tammy was an interesting character because although she was very right-wing and conservative and, you know, as I say, a TV evangelist, she was actually quite accepting of gay people, and she was quite she did a lot for patients and victims of AIDS and HIV, quite unlike other television evangelists. So she's quite a complex and interesting character. The film itself is not getting great reviews, although Jessica Chastain is getting rave reviews for her performance as Tammy Faye.
So yeah, it'll be interesting to see. So Jessica Chastain, Andrew Garfield, a bit of a big heavy hitter stuff. The Eyes of Tammy Faye, not yet released in this part of the world or whatever. No. Let's go to King Richard.
King Richard, you mentioned this one earlier on. So King Richard is Richard Williams, and Richard Williams played by Will Smith. And Richard Williams is the, you know, the dedicated and pushy father stroke trainer of Venus and Serena Williams, right? The tennis coaches. So what's interesting are tennis players. What's interesting about this is that, you know, is that he grew up, you know, very poor, in complete poverty, and the kids grew up in the Comptons in California, not the Comptons, but Compton in California. Yeah. So very poor background. Not the kind of family that you would imagine would be taken up with tennis. You know, tennis wouldn't have been a big sport there. But he was quite a dedicated father, quite a committed father, and like he was training those two girls from the age of four. Mm. At the age of four, he had them in. So really, and he had this manifesto, a 76-page manifesto that he wrote out, mapping out their entire lives and career. So what I think is interesting about this was that on the one hand, this could be seen like, you know, this is two fantastic women who've won loads of tennis trophies, right? So why are we doing a film about a man, about the man who pushed them? Why aren't we doing it about their lives? But it seems the relationship between him and his kids, and he had many kids by many women, but his relationship between him and these two kids is particularly special, and they have a very close bond with him, you know?
So this is a documentary.
No, it's a film.
Oh, it's a film?
Yeah, King Richard, yeah.
All right, so hold on a second. So it's a drama. So who's...
Yeah, Will Smith is playing...
Oh, it's Will Smith.
Will Smith is
playing
Richard
Williams. So hold on, Spencer, The Eyes of Tammy Faye, King Richard.
All movies.
Okay, all movies, right. Yeah, what about A Journal for Jordan?
A Journal for Jordan, then. This looks interesting. Denzel Washington is directing this, and he's proved his chops as a director recently. And it's a story about a sergeant called Charles Monroe King, who was stationed out in Iraq. Now, there's no spoilers to say this guy dies, right? Because he dies very early on in the film. But while he's out in Iraq, he's writing a journal for his young son, who's called Jordan. Now, this was based on a book. So after he died in Iraq, his fiance took all the letters that he'd written and all the notes in the journal. And the journal was full of kind of insights about life and about war and about what it means to be a man and what it means to be American. And he wrote all these things as life lessons back to his son. And then his fiance published them as a book after his untimely death. So this film, his fiance was, her name was Dan, and she's played in the film by an actress called Shantae Adams, who don't know too much about, but what I've seen in the trailers is she's really, really good. And Michael B. Jordan he's a great actor.
Yeah,
he really is.
Yeah.
So basically the film is about that. It's about his journal, him writing the journal in Iraq and the aftermath of his death and how his fiance and his son come.
So we're looking for movies, or looking at dramas, true life stories on the big screen on the way to look out for. What's The Duke?
The Duke, this looks, of all the ones we're going to talk about now, I think this is probably the most interesting. This looks really, really great. And I'd never heard of it. So this, and what an amazing, amazing story. So it's directed by Roger Mitchell. This is his last film before he died. He's the guy who directed Notting Hill. He died this year, actually. He was only 65. So, and it's a true story. So this happened in 1961. In 1961, there was a retired busman in England from Newcastle. His name was Kempton Bunton. Isn't that a great name?
Fantastic.
Kempton Bunton. Yeah. You couldn't make that up. So there's a portrait of the Duke of Wellington. That's where the title of the movie comes from, The Duke. And it's painted by Goya, and it's hanging in the National Gallery in London. And around that time in 1960, some American wants to buy it. And the British government were going to sell it to this guy. Then they had second thoughts about it, and they decided to keep it in the UK. This really angered Kempton, who was a retired bus driver, who was living on a very meagre pension and was just really pissed off with the English government. So what does he decide to do? Well, he goes in, he starts casing the joint at the National guard. He asks the security guards, you know, about the security system in there, and he finds out that cameras are turned off early in the morning when the place is being cleaned. So what does he do? He turns up early in the morning. He's in his 60s now. He jimmies open a window. He goes in and he steals the portrait.
And he's making a protest, is he?
He's making a protest against the British government's treatment of pensioners. So he steals the portrait in 1961, and then he asks for a ransom. But get this, one of the things he was really against was having to pay a TV license. He felt the pensioners shouldn't have to pay a TV license. It was ridiculous. So he agreed to return the painting if they dropped the TV license for pensioners, the British government dropped the TV license, and gave £140,000 sterling to his favourite charity. He would then return the painting. Mm. So he kept it. Of course, his demands weren't met, but he kept the painting until 1965, and he returned it. And of course, he was immediately arrested, and he was tried, and he did time in prison. He wasn't found guilty of the theft of the painting because he returned the painting, but what he didn't return was the frame. So he's found guilty of the theft of the frame.
What?
Isn't that bizarre?
Brilliant.
So this brilliant real life story is brought to the big screen with Jim Broadbent.
You can't beat Jim Broadbent.
Just amazing. And even better, his wife is played by Helen Mirren in it.
All right.
And it's called The Duke. So that's going to be due for release, I think, early next year, February next year.
Look out for the name, Kempton Bunton. Okay.
Kempton Bunton.
Not an awful lot of time left. You're talking a lot about these ones. So off you go. Keep going.
Well, you got a couple of TV series. A couple are going to be on Netflix and some on Apple TV. I'll go through them really quickly. One is called The Shrink Next Door. This looks really good. A lot of these things now are based on podcasts. That seems to be where program makers are getting their ideas. This was a podcast, and it's about a kind of an unscrupulous psychiatrist called Dr. Ike, played by Paul Rudd, who manipulates the life of his patient, a guy called Marty, played by Will Ferrell. So what he does is, Marty is quite a rich guy. He works in the fabric industry. He's a multimillionaire. He has a house up in the Hamptons in upstate New York, but the lawyer convinces him to sign over a lot of the rights to his home, to his work, to his bank accounts, to him as he goes through the healing process. And then he actually moves in with him, and he kind of relegates this multimillionaire to being the gardener in the house. And this is all true. This actually happened. It's very real. So it's called The Shrink Next Door because he actually lives in the house with the multimillionaire and manipulates his life. And that's a series that's going to be on Apple TV. Now, another series that started life as a podcast that is out there at the moment is called Dr. Death. This is kind of interesting. Again, it's another true story. It's based on a doctor called Dr. Christopher Dunst, and he was basically a sociopath. He was a neurosurgeon who got a job in a practice in Dallas. How he got into the job, I don't know, because to be a neurosurgeon, one of the criteria is you have to perform over 1,000 surgeries. He'd performed less than 100, so he wasn't very highly qualified, but he was very charismatic, and you know, he falsified a lot of his own medical criteria basically to get the job. But anyway, he ends up disfiguring a lot of people, and he ended up actually killing a number of people. So, and he got the nickname Dr. Death. This guy is still alive and he's in prison now at the moment. And this miniseries is about his life, and he's played by Joshua Jackson. So that's going to be an interesting one.
Okay, quick, hurry up, keep going.
Maestro. So this is a big one. It's going to be on Netflix. This has been around for quite a while. Steven Spielberg was supposed to direct it at some point, but it's the life of Leonard Bernstein, who, you know, the composer, the arranger, the conductor who wrote West Side Story. Mm. Now, Bradley Cooper is starring as him. He co-wrote it and he's directing it.
And Carey Mulligan.
Carey Mulligan plays his wife. And interestingly, of course, he was gay, but he was married to her for 25 years. And eventually he divorced her, moved in with a man, and she got cancer. When she was dying, he moved back in with her to care for her. Mm. So it's an interesting relationship between Leonard Bernstein and his wife.
Okay, No Man of God is Elijah Wood playing an FBI analyst who extensively interviewed Ted Bundy. Yeah. Blonde is Ana de Armas playing Marilyn Monroe. What about Worth?
Do we need another Marilyn Monroe one? Worth you can watch now. It's in. It's out there at the moment. It's on Netflix. I thought it was really good. So on the aftermath of 9/11, the American government assigned this guy to control to administer the Victim Compensation Fund. Mm. And he's played by Michael Keaton. But it's a very difficult job because how you decide what one person is worth. So he works out this mathematical equation based on their job, based on how many dependents they have, based on what their pension was, and decides to administer this fund until a local activist, a community activist played by Stanley Tucci, comes up to him and says, you know what, like, how my wife was a homemaker, so is my wife's life worth less than the CEO of a corporation? Yeah. This is ridiculous, you cannot do this. So he has to kind of reevaluate the worth he puts on people's lives. And again, it's a true story.
And that's already out, it's on Netflix, isn't it?
That's on Netflix at the moment. Okay, it's a really good watch.
Give me 10
really
seconds on Joe Bell.
Joe Bell, 10 seconds on it. Mark Wahlberg, avoid. There you are. Do you want any more than that?
Okay. Brian Redden, it's been real. Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.